now, the rest of the story. It is 1942. Bing Crosby just signed to do a new movie, a musical, and the composer had called a meeting on the set before filming was to start. This one composer always does this. He wants to demonstrate to director, cast, and crew how he feels that his songs should be performed. He even has a special piano, one with a special lever on it that slides the action back and forth, automatically changing keys without the player having to. It's a dilapidated little instrument, and the composer himself has a voice which carries nowhere. You almost have to hug him to hear him, but there he is, singing the score for the entire movie company. Well, Bing Crosby, the gentleman, listens patiently, but it's more than politeness. Bing can sing, but he can't read music. Did you know that? Bing Crosby could never read music. So he had to memorize everything. Well, one tune follows another, Crosby's sponge brain absorbing it all. Between songs, the composer hesitates and smiles. He says, I have an amusing little number here. And then the composer proceeds to sing it in his own high-pitched half-whisper. Some of the cast members wince. They can feel it coming. And they glance over at Bing, and sure enough, he is starting to scowl. Crosby, a staunch Catholic, is widely known as such. Anything even vaguely smacking of sacrilege does not fit well with him. The composer finishes the tune. What does everybody think, he asks. And Crosby is ice cold. An amusing little number, eh? But what's so funny? There are moments of painful silence, and then the composer continued to review his score, and afterward in private to producer Mark Sandrich, Bing Crosby announced that he would not sing that song. Sandrich knows well which song Bing means, and he apologizes if Crosby has been offended. But there's a big problem here. Because a primary stipulation in the composer's contract is that nothing musical may be altered unless the composer himself does the altering. In other words, the song to which Bing objects must be sung. Well, I'm going to telescope what happened next. There was a lengthy argument, but finally Crosby reluctantly agreed to sing it. And now it's later. They're shooting the picture. It's time to do the controversial number. The composer, knowing that Bing is performing it under protest, is waiting impatiently on the set. Walter Scharf, one of the musical directors, hoping to avoid trouble, tried to trick the composer into leaving the place. The composer plays along, but then returns secretly and hides behind some scenery. If they're going to tinker with his music, he's going to find out about it. But what do you know? Bing sings it straight. And the movie is released, and more remarkable still, the amusing little tune catches on. It caught on because it's wartime, and American soldiers far from home considered it a sentimental anthem. One perfectly expressing their own longing. And when composer Irving Berlin wrote it, and subsequently when crooner Bing Crosby sang it in the movie Holiday Inn, neither man had imagined the ultimate impact, that Bing's own recording would sell more than 30 million copies, that the tune itself would become second only to Silent Night, the most worldwide popular of all Christmas songs. The song the composer underestimated, the song Bing Crosby thought less than sacred enough for the Christmas season, the song that was almost stillborn was White Christmas. And now you know the rest of the story.